Now, friends, as we come here to 2 Peter, I trust that you will follow the text. Now, the Petrine authorship of this book has been challenged more than the authorship of any other book in the New Testament. Dr. Moorhead wrote years ago, "The second epistle of Peter comes to us with less historical support of its genuineness than any other book of the New Testament." Now, may I say to you that this is an area that I have spent very little time in this study of 5 years. That is on what is known as introduction, on the authorship and that which is critical concerning these different books of the Bible. And I feel like since 2 Peter is, as Dr. Moorhead has said, it comes to us with less historical support of its genuineness than any other book in the New Testament. Now, it has caused a great many, even in our day, that say they're conservative. I don't think they are, but they reject 2 Peter as belonging in the canon of Scripture. Now, I would ordinarily just pass over this because to me it's part of the Word of God, and I think there's an abundance of evidence, both internal and external. But let's face facts today, and I know there will be some that will say, well, the problem with McGee is that he just doesn't know any of the introduction of this book of 2 Peter, and so he just plunges into the study. All right, let me go back and bring you up to date on some of the history that's back of 2 Peter. It was a long time in being accepted by the church in the canon of Scripture. It was accepted at Laodicea in 372 at the council that met there, and then again at Carthage in 397. This is the first time that the church had taken really this kind of a stand. Now, Jerome had accepted it for the Vulgate, and it's not in some of the manuscripts. For instance, the Peshitta Syriac version, that is not an acceptable one at all, and there are other things about that version that I'm sure we'd all reject, and that to me would be perfectly meaningless since it wasn't in there. Now, Eusebius, one of the early church fathers, he placed it among the disputed books. Origen accepted it. Clement of Alexandria accepted it, and he wrote a commentary on it. And it is quoted in the Apocalypse of Peter, which, of course, is not accepted. The Epistle of Jude apparently draws from 2 Peter. Jude was well acquainted with it. And there are allusions and also quotations from 2 Peter in some of the early church writers, Aristides, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Ignatius, and Clement of Rome. Now, you will find also that Martin Luther accepted it as genuine. Calvin actually doubted it, but did not reject it, and Erasmus did reject it. Now, that gives you something of the history of the background. But the reason that it has been rejected is, to my judgment, a very fallacious reason. And because of that, I want to say that there is a great deal of internal evidence. Especially, there are certain autobiographical sections here that, to me, are absolutely conclusive that Simon Peter wrote this epistle. We'll see them as we come to it. Now, the question has been sometimes raised, why is 2 Peter so different from 1 Peter? Well, I could ask the same question about why is Romans so different from 2 Timothy? Are 2 Timothy so different from Romans, and yet the same writer wrote both. Paul is the writer. And the explanation, of course, is the subject. And frankly, 2 Peter is very much like 2 Timothy in this. Both of them are the swan song of the two great apostles. This epistle we're going to look at is the swan song of Simon Peter. And then 2 Timothy was the swan song, as we've already seen, of the Apostle Paul. Now, there is a very striking similarity between those two. Both epistles put up a warning sign along the pilgrim pathway the church is traveling to identify the awful apostasy that was on the way at that time.